And we'll just pray for him while he's putting his space suit on. Let's pray for Andy. Holy Spirit, we thank you, Father, for this man. We thank you for the image bearer of the King. We thank you that righteousness has burst forth in him. We thank you for that life message that he carries of the righteousness of Christ. And Lord, today we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill him as he releases this word. We pray, Father, that we would be encouraged to open our heart to receive what is from you, Lord. And that, Lord, it would teach us. It will help us understand the fullness of redemption. It will help us understand the fullness of what you were saying to us this morning. And so we release him into your care as he ministers to us. We pray, Father, that you would bless him and that your name would be glorified through this message. And all the saints said,
Amen.
Thanks, Adam. Just quickly before I start, Webster/Gainsford family. I also saw like a snowball rolling, like it was the start of, you know, a family moving together, but the ball rolls in the same direction. I just felt like the Lord's saying you need to roll together. And as you roll together, you stick together and it gets bigger and there's more momentum. And I just felt like it's going to get bigger and bigger till it draws in other people and it'll be like a massive avalanche for the kingdom of God. So, all right. Am I on now? Yep, too easy. Alright, so I'm an ex-maths teacher, if you didn't know. So today we're going to have a bit of a maths challenge. Here we go. Alright, so a couple of questions. 2 times 3 plus 4. Don't yell out the answer. Just yell it out in your head if you want to yell it out. Okay, so that's the first question. You got the answer for that yet? Alright, next one is 4 plus 2 times 3. Okay, so put your hand up if you got a different answer. Yep, a few. Oh, there's probably going to be a few that won't put it. And put your hand up if you got the same answer. Okay, and there's a lot of people not putting their hand up as well. Okay, so you noticed there was a lot of people that had a different answer, didn't there? Okay, so this is what sometimes the gospel can be like this as well. Like sometimes we can interpret something but come up with a completely different answer. So there needs to, when it comes to mathematics, there's an emphasis on something, and it's order of operations in this case. So there's an emphasis on the multiplication before the plus. So in the first one, if you go left to right, it's 2 times 3 is 6 plus 4 is 10, and of course we do the times first, so we're going to get 10, so that's the correct answer. Second one, if you go 4 plus 2 to get 6 and times it by 3, 18, that's incorrect, because we actually should be doing the multiplication first, which is 2 times 3, 6 plus 4 is 10. Okay, so there's an emphasis on the multiplication. So the same comes, I guess, with the cross. Sometimes we mainly focus on forgiveness and forgiveness only. Now, don't hear me wrongly, forgiveness is important at the cross. You know, we actually really do need forgiveness at the cross, because we all have sinned and all fall short. But we do need forgiveness, but there's something more than just forgiveness. You know, and we can't just emphasize forgiveness. I propose to you that Jesus wanted to emphasize redemption.
Amen.
Okay? Because redemption helps us to see a greater purpose for our lives. And so when it comes to the cross, we need to shift some of our focus from forgiveness to redemption, particularly as we mature in Christ. Okay? And the reason I say that is because if we focus on forgiveness only and not on redemption, we often come up with the wrong conclusions, mainly about ourselves. And that can be detrimental. So let me explain. So if I only focus on forgiveness, I'm often, when I come to the cross, I'm focusing on my old self, which is usually the one that struggles and has all the faults and the problem, and it's the sinner as such, yep? So when I come to the cross, all I'm identifying with is as a sinner. And so it has implications for me and my identity. If I only see the cross as forgiveness, then a lot of the time I'm only seeing myself as a sinner. But You know, we need to recognize that Christ died also to transform us back into a beloved son or daughter through redemption. Okay? So redemption, just I don't want to throw around big words without explaining, means to bring back that which was lost. Or dictionary says redemption is the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment. Think about that with the cross. Regaining something in exchange for payment. So the emphasis is obviously revolved around identity as well, I would say. But it's hard, like sometimes I got stuck on forgiveness the whole time, and for 15 years as a Christian, I was sort of still stuck in ways I wasn't proud of, and I wasn't really growing as a Christian, I wasn't really feeling like I was being transformed or redeemed, you know, I was just, you know, going through the motions, doing church, a sinner saved by grace, but still struggling. But I feel like God wants to reveal more of redemption so that we can actually live out our true purpose. Redemption is available at the cross, and if we don't neglect this, then it gives us reason as to why Jesus would go to the cross in the first place. Sometimes it didn't make sense to me as why God would love me as a sinner. Why would he want to go to the cross for me, you know, as a dodgy sinner? But if we understand redemption, that there was so much more redeemed value in you and me, that's why Jesus went to the cross, because he could see past the sinner to the redeemed value in you. And that's why it would have given him so much motivation and purpose, because he's going to die not for a sinner, but for a lost son or a lost daughter. And so it's worth dying for. And look, Jesus himself even declares in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." Amen. I love the emphasis that he says, "save that which was lost." So something was lost, okay? Now if we head back to the garden, when Adam and Eve first ate of that apple, all of a sudden something was lost. Their identity was lost in God. They lost God's image. They lost their innocence. They became self-conscious about themselves. And then everything just became about their self, firstly, where they became self-centered, living for themselves. Instead of living from their heart towards God, they lived from their flesh towards earth. So, we need to understand that at the cross, an exchange has happened when we come to the cross. So we come to the cross for forgiveness. But at that moment, there's an exchange that happens. We have died in Christ as a sinner and buried that there. But we've come alive with him into a new reborn, you know, rebirth of a redeemed Andy or a redeemed Adam or a... redeemed Adam for all of us in that sense. So it's an exchange. You, like Jesus, died to get inside of you, to actually get inside of you, because he knew if he could get inside of you, he could redeem you. So that's the main reason I think Jesus went to the cross, because he could see our redeemed purpose and it was worth dying for. And like I give a poor example, so please excuse me on this, but, and I'm sorry if someone's had a son or a daughter pass away, but if you had a son or a daughter that had died from a random disease, but you had the power to bring them back from that random disease, would you be more happy that you had a cure for the random disease, or would you be more happy that you had your lost son or daughter back living again? Yeah, like it just puts it in perspective, like, you know, I know for me, I'd just be thrilled to have my son back or my daughter back, you know. And that would give me motivation to do whatever it was I had to do. So I'm sure Jesus is way more energised about having his sons and daughters coming back to life than what he is about sin.
Amen. Come on.
There's been a couple of prophetic words over the last weeks about the graves and the dead people coming out of the grave, you know, and coming alive. And I really feel like God's Spirit is stirring and awakening people to being redeemed so they're actually living out our true purpose. So I also want to look at like some of the gospel stories just quickly, like the adulterous woman being stoned, Zacchaeus and the Samaritan woman at the well. So Jesus has an interaction with every one of them. Amen. And each time their redeemed value gives Jesus reason as to why he'd even want to interact with them.
Come on.
You look at these disciples, they're like embarrassed that he's interacting with these sinners virtually. Do you know what I mean? But Jesus looks beyond that. And here's the thing. Jesus separates where you have been from who he had made you to be.
Come on.
Jesus emphasizes who we truly are and not where we have been.
Come on.
And he proves that in the gospel, because when he sees the redeemed value of the adulterous woman, he sees the redeemed value of Zacchaeus and the woman at the well. And so the same is with us. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And on my darkness day, Jesus doesn't lose sight of what he made me for.
Amen.
He sees a redeemed value in you and me.
Wow.
But it goes deeper than that. As I said, Jesus died to bring back your created purpose. Redemption is crucial to living out your created purpose.
Come on.
So Matthew 7:18 says, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit.
Mm.
So if you see yourself as a bad apple, or a bad fruit, or a bad tree, then it's hard for you to produce good fruit. Because how you see yourself is often what you're going to produce.
Wow.
But if you see yourself the way Jesus sees you, as a redeemed and restored, then you will produce good fruit. Because it helps us to have a good conscience about ourselves to live out that created purpose. And I'll put a little bit more on that. But the thing about purpose is we don't always live it out. So let me explain. Purpose isn't fulfilled until it's functioning in that which it was created for.
Amen.
Like a shoe. This is useless like that, but on my foot, it's actually fulfilling its purpose.
Amen.
And it becomes useful. It's like a guitar, it's useless unless it's strings to play. And so the same is with us. You know, we're not fulfilling our purpose unless we're living in that which we were created for, unless we're living and reflecting the image of God,
yes,
radiating his glory.
Whoa.
You know, and so he paid the price to get his life inside of us. It's called born again.
Amen.
And there's a big, born again plays a big part in redemption. Because it means new, you know, brand new. We're brand new. But it's like a new toy. Sometimes you get something, you don't always know how to operate it when you first get it out of the box. Yeah. And so you've got this new thing, but you don't know its full purpose or how it functions or whatever until we learn that.
Yeah.
And then put that into practice.
Yeah. Come on in.
So a lot of these things are available day one at the cross. Forgiveness.
Mm.
Redemption.
Mm.
Okay? Like forgiveness. I was forgiven back in 1999. I was forgiven at the cross. But when I came to God, it was 1999. And it took me a long time before I knew I was truly forgiven.
Wow.
I mean like 15 years. It took me a long time to unpack that present for me to actually realize, oh man, I'm actually forgiven. I know I'm forgiven. Like I've had a revelation. It's sort of like I had to take intimacy with God though for me to hear that I was forgiven. Because sometimes you can read and people can tell you and all that, but I really truly believe you need the intimacy of God to speak into heart to tell you you're truly forgiven. So that you can know that and then live it out. And you can start to live in that purpose of being forgiven. And when you know you're forgiven, and you know Jesus, then it allows you to minister in forgiveness. Because it's hard to minister in forgiveness when then you haven't even forgiven yourself.
Wow.
getting track. Shouldn't have gone off track because I read it, so I was under 20 minutes. But so just looking at forgiveness, now I'm back on track. So I understand about forgiveness now, but redemption, I'm still journeying through that because sometimes my standing with Christ is I'm redeemed fully at the cross, but my current state is not always like that. And so it's me trying to bring my state closer to my standing by God giving me revelation about, you know, renewing my mind and having the Spirit of God to help me. But there's also something else that He's revealed to me just recently, which is more like a key to the kingdom, to unlocking, or it's the key to unlocking the instructions about myself to help me live out my creative purpose for Him.
Amen.
So, hopefully the Spirit will help us to better understand ourselves, and in particular our hearts, so that we can live out our purpose. What do I mean by that? So when Adam and Eve fell for deception in the garden, like I said, our identity was lost. It had been covered over. Selfishness had taken over love. The image of God was lost. We'd virtually returned back to clay. But Jesus rises from the dead. He breathes life into man, and we're in the garden again. We're in the Eden experience again now. But the two trees are still there. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is still whispering deception. But something has changed now from the original garden to where we exist now. So what has changed? I'd like to differ that we've got a new heart through a new covenant. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit I'll put within you, and I'll remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So sometimes we need to understand our heart, because if we look at this, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander, and these are what defile a person. So the heart is sometimes the root of these actions. And so even as Christians, if our actions aren't lining up, then maybe we need to look at our hearts for some heart surgery.
Amen.
For years, I thought it was just renewing my mind or the spirit, but I'd worked on those fairly comprehensively, and then some things still weren't lining up. Oh my God, you know, I want to be transformed, you know. Amen. I believe the gospel has the power to transform my life.
Amen.
To live free from sin. Not only that I'm going to be absolutely perfect, but God encourages us to do that. Jesus, I'm going to show you a scripture from Jesus sort of stating, you know, to live free from sin sort of thing. So as I was saying, I realised that my heart needed attending to because I still didn't have things line up. So let me explain an example of why it's not just through the mind or willpower or whatever. So if I was struggling with alcohol and tended to drink too much and then stopped at the bottle on the way home, but I was struggling, I'm going, God, help me, come on, just put an angel at the door of the bottle so I don't walk in. Okay? Do you think God's going to put an angel at the door? No. Why? Because He wants to deal with the issue of the heart.
Yeah, that's good.
He wants to remove the false desire.
Come on.
In the heart. And if you put the angel at the door and stopped you, the forbidden desire is still in your heart. Mm-hmm. And so the next time that temptation comes along, if you can, you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Come on.
And so there lies the problem. Often we need to address our heart to take away the forbidden desires. Mm-hmm. Cutting away the forbidden desires of your heart was in God's plan all along.
Wow.
And this is where the integrity of the gospel lies. Mm-hmm. By that I mean, you know, not trying to sneak religion or law into it to try and get you perfect.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's the problem. Often with churches we try different things, but and we try and sneak religion in, because we're trying to live holy in righteousness, but we need understanding on how that happens, so that it's not a pseudo thing, and then cracks start appearing, and then, oh my goodness, you know, like, it goes pear-shaped. So, sometimes, like, when those cracks appear, it's sort of like it leads to frustration. But frustration's not a bad thing, because it leads to desire. But it can be bad, because that desire can go one or two ways. Mm. So hopefully that frustration gives you a desire to leave your old life, because you're just frustrated with it and you've had enough, you know. So understanding, like, a key to overcoming is understanding now that we play by a different set of rules. Mm-hmm. For too long, we've had a mindset that's playing this game by the enemy's rules. And we wonder why we could never win. Because mm-hmm. he keeps tripping us up under the old covenant, under the old law. Mm-hmm. Okay? But God's created a whole new set of rules to play by, mm-hmm. which helps us to overcome. We need to embrace that truth and embrace those new set of rules to overcome. And I'll explain a little bit more about that in the tip. Cutting away of the forbidden desires of your heart, it's like it was God's plan. It's like casting the nets to the right of the boat instead of the left of the boat. It's we're playing by his game plan now on the right of the boat instead of the old one on the left of the boat. To remove the root that causes you to produce bad fruit. That's what needs to happen. And the heart is like the root system. He wants to cut away bad things in our heart. And he uses, or the scriptures use, circumcision of heart many times, like stacks of times. And sorry to be gross, but we all understand what circumcision is. It's cutting away of the foreskin, so infection doesn't happen, particularly when it's unclean. So sorry to gross you out, but think about that from a heart context. You know, God actually wants us to have a circumcision of heart to cut away what's unclean so that infection doesn't happen in our hearts. Colossians 2. Says, through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of heart. All of the guilt and the power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished for us.
Amen.
It just says it all there. Like, cut away the guilt and the power of sin. And like I said, that it's that taking away the forbidden desire out of your heart removes the power of sin over your life. Because it's sin can only leverage off the law.
Yeah, it's good.
It can't leverage off Jesus or your heart in terms of Jesus in your heart. So it gains power only from the law. But once you recognize you're dead to the law, and you've died with Christ, then Satan can't take a dead man to court.
Come on.
That's it.
So we need to understand that, we need to understand our death with Christ at the cross,
Amen.
Which is that forgiveness, but we've died to the old man, but we need to understand that there's that exchange where we come into a new man, and we need to unwrap that new man so that we start living our designated purpose in which we were created for. In Jeremiah 4, the prophet reminds the people that they cannot rightfully trust the mark of their circumcision for covenant blessings. Rather, they have to experience the inner reality of circumcision heart that the circumcision of the flesh was to signify. The Lord's covenant salvation has always been a covenant of the heart. So, right. So we're running out of time, aren't we? Yeah, right. So, I'm just going to quickly jump to this. How do I go back? So the days are coming, declares the Lord, where I'll make a new covenant. I'm going to jump down there. I'll put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts. That is the new covenant. He's putting the law in our heart and our mind. And so, yeah, that's what helps us to produce righteousness with God. And it's and after that, in Hebrews 8, that prophecy is repeated, and it says, I'm giving you a new covenant, which means the old one's made obsolete. Why? Because we don't need a list of 10 commandments to obey when the law of love is living in your heart. Because the law of love fulfills all the 10 commandments and removes the old law so sin doesn't have its power over you.
Come on.
Why? Because you've died with Christ. And so we have intimacy with God. When we have intimacy with God, we begin to know the expression of love, which leads to obedience. Yeah. When we know God, we're intimate with God, then we will love, because God is love. Mm-hmm. Intimacy with God is revealed in your love. Mm-hmm. So a renewed heart is revealed in your love. Mm-hmm. I don't live by the law, but I live by the heart of the law. I'm not living to fulfill the law. My heart has just been changed because of love, and I naturally want to live by the law of love in my heart, because Jesus is in my heart through intimacy. And funny enough, I had this verse which was read out. If we reach the goal of fulfilling the commandments, when we love each other deeply with a pure heart, a clean conscience, and a sincere faith,
amen,
which was read this morning. But lastly, I just want to leave you with this. And I'm just going to say, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders here, and he's sort of saying, I want you to embrace the truth so that you'll release more freedom into your lives. Surprised by this, they said, oh, we're already free. And Jesus says down here, I speak the eternal truth. When you sin, you are not free. You become a slave in its bondage to your sin. And slaves have no permanent standing in a family like a son does, for a son is part of the family.
Amen.
So if the Son sets you free from sin, then become a true son and be unquestionably free.
Yes.
So God wants us to embrace sonship through redemption at the cross, so we can be a true son and unquestionably free.
Amen.
We need to understand that we need to be free from under the old covenant, and that the new covenant was God's plan of redemption by placing a new law of love in our heart.
Come on.
We need to, so that He will be our God, and we will be His people.
Amen.
That's in that declaration. He says it. Well, when I read that, I was thinking, God says, I will be your God, and you will be your people, and you will be my people. I was thinking, how can He guarantee that?
Mm.
Well, when God puts His heart in you, the heart of God, then it's going to cause you to produce righteousness.